Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
You for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, where we discuss all the news in the world of basketball. My name is Ben Brown. I'd like to thank you once again for joining us here on this Wednesday morning on April 12th. The NBA season is just winding down. The regular season does end tonight, so we do have some big games on the schedule, especially in the Eastern Conference, because we have three teams battling for two spots right now, the 7th and the 8th seed. The Pacers, the Bulls, and the Heat, those three teams vying for the 7th and 8th seed. So we'll talk a little bit about those three teams, especially in the second segment, because we're going to look ahead to tonight, what games are going to be played. A lot of storylines still going on, a lot of things that could possibly happen. So look at the playoff race, especially in the East, because the West is already set. That was set really at the beginning of the week, 1 through 8. The only difference we could have had was that shakeup between 4 and 5, and that still can happen. The Clippers and the Jazz are currently tied at 50 and 31. So we'll see what they can do in the last game of the season tonight, who will have home court advantage in that opening round series. So we'll look at those things. We'll talk about the NBA from last night. We'll talk some news. Some more college players are declaring for the draft. Also, injury update on Joakim Noah. The Minnesota Timberwolves have revealed a new logo for next year, which will, of course, entail new jerseys and everything. So, kind of, obviously, you can't really see it. This is just, you know, an audio podcast. But I'll kind of talk about what it looks like, try and sort of visualize it for you, give you my thoughts on it, and of course, you can always look at it yourself, just want to look that up when you get the chance. So, let's not waste any time, guys. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about the NBA from last night. The Atlanta Hawks pick up a 103-76 victory over the Charlotte Hornets. Very, very big win there for the Hawks. Dwight Howard in the victory, 19 points and 12 rebounds. In the loss, Jeremy Lamb for Charlotte had 21 points and 5 rebounds. The Hawks right now currently the number 5 seed, and they're locked up there. So, you know, they're really kind of resting a lot of guys. With the victory last night, they, of course, have a one-game lead over the Milwaukee Bucks right now. But they're going to be locked into that 5 seed, and they're probably going to be taking on the Washington Wizards, who are the number 4 seed right now. You look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were Russell Westbrook-less last night. They did not have Russ in the lineup last night. He was just resting, and I mean, you can't tell me that it's not obviously warranted and justified because of how hard and how much he's played this season, everything he's put into the team. 42 triple doubles. They're going to be the sixth seed, that's already determined, so you would imagine he would not play in the season finale tonight as well. But a very nice result there for the Thunder, because they still do win without Russ. Victor Oladipo, 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. He hit the game-winning shot with a few seconds left to give them the lead, and Minnesota did not, of course, get it done after that. So they do win 100-98. The T-Wolves in the loss, though, the big man, KAT, Karl Anthony Towns, 26 points and 12 rebounds. I can't say enough about Karl Anthony Towns. He's absolutely tremendous. I really do believe, give him another 2 years, I think he's probably the best big man in the league. I seriously do. And that's kind of a lot to say, given some of his other Kentucky alum that are doing big things in New Orleans. You have Anthony Davis, and you have DeMarcus Cousins. So that's saying a lot, but I think Towns is just so balanced all across the floor. He's a good defender, good rebounder. He can score from the inside. He can step out to the mid-range, step out, hit the three. He's phenomenal. I mean, in April, I read a stat. He's averaging, going into the game last night, he was averaging like 29 points this month, 13 rebounds, shooting, I believe, 61% and almost 44% from the three-point line. I mean, for a guy who's 7 foot tall, 6'11", that's absolutely tremendous. And I really do think that KAT will be so much better in a couple of years. And I'll kind of talk about Minnesota a little bit later when I talk about their logo, because everyone expected, even myself included, that this year would be the year where they kind of like break out. A lot of these young guys finally sort of really step up, and they really establish themselves as a force in the Western Conference this season. Didn't work out. They're 31-50, so at best they're going to be 32-50 or 31-51, depending on how the results go tonight. But I maybe it's next year. I mean, I don't want to be that guy who always says, oh, next year is going to be the year, and then the year after that, and then next year, and next year. But who knows? They're going to get a high draft pick again in a very deep draft class, so we'll see what happens with the T-Wolves, but they did not win last night over the Thunder. Of course, Thunder win 100-98 without Russell Westbrook. The Nuggets are on the road against the Mavericks last night. The Nuggets do get a 109-91 victory. Gary Harris, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists for Denver. Dirk Nowitzki, 21 points, 8 rebounds for the Mavs in the loss. I guess what you can talk about more in this regard here is the fact that Tony Romo was a Maverick for the day. You remember Tony Romo, longtime great Dallas Cowboy quarterback, recently just sort of hanging up and went into broadcasting. He's going to be on CBS. But, you know, the Mavericks and Mark Cuban, they welcomed him back for everything he's kind of done for Dallas to be like a Maverick for the day. They gave him a jersey. He signed like a one-day contract with them. He went through the shoot-arounds, the warm-ups. He got introduced as the sixth starter. And honestly, even Mark Cuban went to Adam Silver and tried to get Tony Romo to play. Tony Romo played basketball in high school. His high school coach said, you know, he could hoop. Like, he was a pretty good basketball player. But, I mean, Tony Romo is 36 years old. Multiple back injuries, clavicle injuries. So playing, I mean, I don't think that would have been necessarily the best case. But I don't want to say I have a problem with this, because I really don't think I have a problem with this. I'd say it's a good gesture. Congrats. You know, everything he's done for Dallas is definitely warrant, and he had a great career there, and it's nice for the Mavericks to do this. But if there's any more of an example that the NBA regular season does not matter than this one, I don't know what it is. Because the Mavericks are, of course, eliminated from the playoffs. They're 32-49. It's their last home game of the season. They really have nothing to do. Hey, let's bring in Romo. Let's try and, like, maybe sell some tickets. Like, oh, it's okay. The season doesn't matter. Our season's over. Like, if there's any bigger example that the regular season in the NBA does not matter than this one, then please tell me. Because that was my biggest takeaway from this whole thing, is, like, it's really, really silly. Great gesture, but really, really silly. Anyways, we'll move on here. The Lakers did defeat the New Orleans Pelicans last night, 108-96. I'm sure that Magic Johnson's not going to be too happy about that. I mean, the Lakers are tanking so bad that their top performer from last night was one aptly named Meta World Peace. Formerly Ron Artest, Meta had 18 points and 4 rebounds in the victory last night. Brandon Ingram really put on a show. Had himself a monstrous dunk at one point. The Lakers at 26-55. Remember, the Lakers are trying to tank as much as they can, because if they do not have a pick in the draft lottery in the top three, they do lose that pick to the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, the Lakers do have the third worst record in the league. So that's not necessarily the greatest of odds. If literally one team's ball goes ahead of LA's, then they're not going to keep their pick. And that is really, really bad, because this Lakers team is built on a young core. They have a lot of solid young pieces, but if they don't get their pick, then they're in a world of trouble. You know what I mean? They're 26-55. They'll have the same roster for next season. I mean, that's not necessarily the greatest of scenarios. So we'll see. I mean, right now they're the third worst record, so chances are they'll still have a shot at getting their ball out of the top three, but who knows? And then the last game last night, the Kings ended their first season at the Golden 1 Center with a victory, 129-104, over the Phoenix Suns. Guard Ty Lawson did have a triple-double last night, 22 points, 12 assists, and 11 rebounds. Tyler Ulis in the loss had 27 points, 6 assists, and 4 rebounds for the Suns. Suns, of course, just a little better at tanking than the Sacramento Kings are. The Suns, 24-58, that is the second worst record in the league. We're going to take our first break here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast, and after the break, we're going to talk about the NBA games upcoming for tonight, look at some playoff implications, what some teams, especially in the Eastern Conference, need to get in. Miami just on the outside right now. Indiana and Chicago also battling for those last two seeds. So we'll find out what happens tonight, and I'll talk about who I think is going to obviously get those top two seeds. And then we'll talk a little college basketball, a couple more guys declaring for the NBA draft. All that and more here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast coming up next.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, and we are back here talking about the race for the final spots in the playoffs. We have, especially in the Eastern Conference, technically we have a race for the number one seed still between the Celtics and the Cavaliers. We also have a battle for 7 and 8, as I mentioned, between three teams. In the Western Conference, you have a battle for 4 and 5 between the Jazz and the Clippers. So we'll talk about all of those sort of spots here as the NBA season concludes tonight. So let's just go ahead and start off with the race for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the Cavaliers and the Celtics. The Celtics, of course, have a one-game lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. The Cavs do own the tiebreaker, though. So what needs to happen for the Cavs to get the number one seed? Well, they need Boston to lose tonight against the Bucks, and the Cavs need to win tonight. So if either the Cavs lose or the Celtics win, the Celtics will have the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And that's what I really do expect to happen. The Celtics are playing the Bucks tonight. The Bucks already said that they're going to be resting a lot of their players because they are locked in to that number six seed right now in the Eastern Conference. They're resting about four players, including Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is their everything for them. The Celtics, of course, have a lot to play for. They are at home, which they've been good this season at the TD Garden. The Celtics this season have a home record of 29-11. So you got to imagine the Celtics are going to lock up the number one seed tonight just by simply winning over the Bucks. But also the Cavaliers, quite honestly, I don't want to say I got upset, but I want to say one thing, is that I feel like they simply have to come out of the Eastern Conference given the fact that they have taken this regular season off the last couple of months of the season. I mean, a big game against the Heat a couple nights ago. The Heat have a lot to play for. The Cavs trying to battle for the number one seed. They rest LeBron James and Kyrie Irving with quote-unquote injuries. Yeah, LeBron has a calf strain. Like, that's what we're being told. Yeah, I don't really believe that. And they're already resting LeBron James for tonight against the Raptors. So you have to question, they're not really taking the number one seed seriously. They're not taking the regular season seriously. So they almost have to come to the Eastern Conference to sort of justify that and warrant that, because They simply just don't care. They're conceding the number one seed here to the Celtics, which I don't think is a good idea, but who knows? The Celtics, really, really good shot to get the number one seed tonight with just a win over the Bucks. But I also don't think the Cavs will beat the Raptors without LeBron James. It looks like Kyrie Irving might rest as well, so very interesting there. All right, so let's look at the really, really big one here, and that's going to be the number 7 and number 8 seeds in the Eastern Conference. Here's where it's get really, really interesting. So we have the Pacers, the Bulls, and we have the Miami Heat vying for those last two spots right now in the Eastern Conference. Currently, the Indiana Pacers do have a 41-40 record. They're in the number 7 spot right now. It could technically move up to 6, although I don't think that's going to happen. The Bulls are in the 8th spot right now. They're in the tiebreaker over the Miami Heat, although they both have a 40-41 record. The Pacers are playing the Atlanta Hawks, who are the 5 seed. The Bulls are taking on the Brooklyn Nets, who have already clinched the worst record in the league. And the Miami Heat are taking on the Washington Wizards, who are the 4 seed. So, the best chance is definitely the Pacers and the Bulls, because the Bulls are playing the Brooklyn Nets, who have 20 wins this season, and they already announced, for some reason I can't even tell you why, that they're going to be resting 6 players, including by far their top 2 players, Brooke Lopez and Jeremy Lin. Why the Nets will be resting everybody, the only thing I can think of is they're afraid of potential injuries. Maybe Jeremy Lin, Brooke Lopez, others maybe tear their knee up and are out for the whole entire season next year. Which, I mean, they'd have to pay them for being on the bench, which is never a good thing. But they're already the worst team in the league. They don't have the draft pick for next season because it's going to Boston. So no matter what, they're going to be in the exact same situation next year. So why they're deciding to rest everybody against the Bulls, who are going to be playing, is kind of beyond me. Maybe they just are trying to like stick it to Miami, because if the Bulls and the Pacers win, then they're in. Miami needs to beat Washington and to also get a loss by the Pacers or the Bulls in order to get in. So the chances of them getting in, not necessarily the greatest. I mean, I'll give the Bulls and the Pacers the benefit of the doubt and a greater shot to get in, because simply if they win, they're in. You know, Washington probably won't play John Wall and Bradley Beal. The Heat are probably going to play, everybody, I should say. So they have a decent shot, and they had a nice win a couple nights ago against Cleveland when they rested everybody. But I don't really exactly know what the Nets are doing. That's the one thing that is still kind of just like baffling to me, is as far as what the Brooklyn Nets are deciding to do. Because they're basically just throwing in the white towel. They might as well not even show up to the arena tonight, because I don't know exactly what they're thinking there. So I'll give the edge to the Bulls and the Pacers. I feel kind of bad for the Heat. Eric Spoelstra has done an amazing job of turning things around. They were 9-23 at one point. To be 40-41 is just phenomenal. I'm kind of rooting for them, I'm hoping for them, but the chances are not the greatest. The Pacers are playing at home against Atlanta, who will probably rest some guys as well. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they win. And they plus they have a game lead anyway, so it's looking better for them anyways. But we'll see what happens tonight as those three teams are in action. And then the last one here is in the Western Conference. The Clippers and the Jazz, they are tied for that fourth seed right now. So no matter what, they are going to be playing each other in the first round. It's just a matter of who's going to have the home court advantage in that first round matchup. They have the exact same records right now at 50-31. They both play at home tonight. The Clippers are taking on the Kings, and the Jazz are taking on the Spurs. The Clippers also own the tiebreaker. So the only way the Jazz can, of course, get the number 4 seed is they have to win and the Clippers have to lose. The Jazz are taking on the Spurs. I would imagine the Jazz would be obviously going for it, and the Spurs are going to rest a ton of players because they're the number 2 seed in the Western Conference. Popovich's rested players, even in the regular season, not to mention a meaningless game like tonight. And then you have the Clippers taking on the Kings, who are one of the worst franchises in the league. They did win last night, which is great, but they're definitely tanking and trying to lose as many games as they can. Clippers should be able to handle the Kings, and I would expect the Jazz to beat the Spurs. So I would think both these teams do win tonight, which would mean that the Clippers would have the number four seed because, of course, they own the tiebreaker. So we'll see. These two teams are taking on each other in the first round anyways, so it doesn't really matter. But the home court advantage could be really important. You know, I mean, the winner of this is going to be taking on the Warriors in the next round, and you're obviously trying to do as much and do as good as you can. So I think the Jazz have had a really, really good season. To win 50, maybe 51 games if they win tonight is phenomenal. I didn't really expect that to happen this season. I would have thought if there was a team that did not make the playoffs last year to win 50 games this year in the West, I would have probably said the T-Wolves, but that, of course, was not the case. So, anyways, we'll move on, and we'll talk some little bit about college basketball here. So, we're talking about some guys declaring for the draft. First off is Gonzaga big man Zach Collins. Zach Collins, a freshman, he is declaring for the draft. And he's not going to, of course, go his 3 years in college. And he intends to hire an agent at a later date. Has not done it yet. So there is still a potential for him to go back to school. But it looks like he's not going to be there. Talked about how he was proud to be a Zag and wants to thank everyone and his teammates. And the season was so special, even though they fell short in that national championship game. Collins is 7 foot tall. He's about 230 pounds. He averaged 10 points and about 6 rebounds this season for Gonzaga and really came on late in the NCAA tournament. That's where he really stood out. Where you're looking at for Collins, you're looking at probably maybe late lottery. So you're looking at maybe 14 until maybe the later first round, maybe 14 to 20. So there's a lot of potential with Collins. He's a big physical threat. The big word with Collins is potential. He's got a ton of potential. He's big. He's 7 foot tall. The big men are very rare nowadays in the NBA. He's a good shot blocker inside as well. The one flaw with Collins, well, I guess you can say I'll say two, is that one, he's really young. I mean, he's only a freshman. He's definitely going to take some time to mature into the player he wants to be in the league. And also, to go along with the maturity, is that he really just can't play without fouling at this current state right now. Got into foul trouble a lot with Gonzaga. Remember, he fouled out of the national championship game. So right now, he kind of just has to learn how to play without fouling, get more disciplined, and I think that all has to do with the potential he could have in the NBA. So hopefully Collins goes to a good team and a good scheme that could definitely fit his mold and shape him into a really good big man, because I think he has the potential to be one coming out of Gonzaga into the NBA draft. And the other player we're going to talk about is LSU guard Antonio Blakely. He's declaring for the draft. He was LSU's top scorer this season. He averaged 17.2 points per game. He came into LSU as a highly regarded recruit coming out of Oak Ridge High School in Florida. He was Mr. Basketball there. But obviously LSU not really having the greatest season, so it didn't really work out. But he's declaring for the draft, and he's going to be signing with an agent. As far as where he could go, it's still up in the air. You're probably looking at like late first round, maybe early second round for Blakely. Just maybe wanting to get out of college, but he's also declaring for the draft as well. So that's going to be it. We're going to take our last break of the show. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about a few news things in the NBA. The Cavaliers making some moves, the Minnesota Timberwolves' new logo, and an injury update on Joakim Noah. All that coming up next here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, guys. Thank you for turning back in to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. My name is Ben Brown. Again, we are here talking in the last segment of the show, rounding out our Wednesday morning, talking about a few new segments in basketball. We have updates on the Cavaliers roster situation, Joakim Noah of the New York Knicks, as well as a brand new logo and planned jersey setup for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So let's get right and started talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Remember, a few months ago, they had brought in Larry Sanders, who had taken like a two-year kind of break from the NBA because multiple suspensions and kind of got caught up with drugs and everything. So Sanders, the Cleveland Cavaliers brought him in right after Andrew Bogut got injured, hoping that he could maybe be a backup center, provide some depth inside, be a shot blocker, someone who could alter some shots. And honestly, it hasn't really worked out. They're going to actually waive him ahead of tonight, the final game of the season. Sanders only played in five games over the past month since returning, and he spent a lot of time in the Cavaliers D-League team. So with him being waived, they're bringing in a new guy, and that's Eddie Tavares. He's a center. He blocked 11 shots in two playoff games against the Cavaliers D-League team over the weekend. He spent the entire season for the Toronto Raptors D-League team after being waived by the Hawks last fall. So it's kind of like they were watching the game like, hey, who's that guy? Like, oh, his name is Eddie Tavares. Well, maybe we want to bring him in because he's blocking everything. You know what I mean? They're trying to fill that void that they thought Bogut would fill, but then he, of course, got injured. He broke his leg a minute into his debut, which is unfortunate. He's no longer on the team, but they're trying to fill that void that they planned to have Bogut fill. Didn't work with Sanders, and quite honestly, I don't think it's going to work with Tavares. This guy's been in the D-League the whole season. Of course, things happen. He blocked some shots in two games, 11 of them, so there's a chance. I don't really see this really working out. You know what I mean? He's just really going to be a body in my eyes. And we'll see what the Cavs do. You know, the playoffs are, in my eyes, are kind of like put up or shut up for Cleveland because they really took a lot of the last couple of months off. And now it's time to show us that, like, hey, what you're doing was justified. Let's see what you got now. Let's see what you finally got. So that's what we'll see with the Cavs. They're also going to bring in Dante Jones to a contract. It's the second consecutive year that they've brought in Jones on the final day of the season. This comes just after waiving DeAndre Liggins earlier in the week. So that's what the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing. As far as some other big men in the league, Joakim Noah of the New York Knicks. Of course, he's going to have rotator cuff surgery. He's going to be out for a while. I mean, there's only one game left of the season, but he's going to be out at least like 6 weeks into the offseason. He's 32 years old. He's coming off of a knee surgery on his left knee last year, and now he's going to have rotator cuff surgery. I mean, the whole Knicks experiment just has not really worked out at all. Whether it be Derrick Rose, Phil Jackson, re-signing Carmelo Anthony, bringing in Joakim Noah. I mean, the one deal that they've done that made sense was drafting Kristaps Porzingis. He's going to be a good big man in the league. But other than that, nothing has worked out for the New York Knicks. And now you have Noah. Had a really, really bad season in New York. Probably his worst that we've seen him. He's currently serving a 20-game suspension, of course, for violating the league's anti-drug policy. He's going to be sidelined the first 8 games of next season because of that suspension. It carries over and doesn't just end when the season ends. So now he's having to deal with some surgery and a rotator cuff, which is definitely something that's tough. You know, you're going to need to have at least a few months of rehab after your recovery time. So that's something that could linger on into the regular season. And if it's something that bothers him into the regular season, that could be even worse news for the Knicks, which, quite honestly, I don't know how things can get worse there, but it's pretty bad. Remember, he signed a 4-year, $72 million deal last summer to sign with the Knicks. So he's definitely cashing out. He's getting a ton of money. I mean, the Knicks just kind of are just a train wreck. I mean, we've talked about him in the past with Charles Oakley and James Dolan and then Phil Jackson's comments on Carmelo Anthony, and I just really don't see how it gets better in New York, but it's getting definitely worse for them and Joakim Noah, who is going to be out with rotator cuff surgery coming up. So we're going to end the show right after we hear about these news from Minnesota. The Timberwolves have revealed a new logo starting for next season. It kind of got leaked during the day yesterday, so everyone knew it. And they're like, oh, well, it's kind of out now. Like, we might as well just kind of show you guys what it's about. So it, to me, kind of looks a little more vintage. It's more of a vintage look. They're definitely going to stick with a lot of their colors, the blue and like the kind of like the baby blue and the green, that nice like lime green. The logo is basically the Minnesota Timberwolves, like a vintage looking sort of text in the background. You have a basketball and then you have like a wolf sort of like leaning back and kind of howling towards, of course, what would presumably be the moon. So I actually like it. It's kind of getting mixed results. It looks a lot different than their most recent one, which is kind of like a fierce wolf. This kind of just like a wolf howling. It looks a lot more reminiscent of their first logo they've had, which, like I said, looks more vintage, kind of like a throwback look of feels of sort. But I actually like it. And there's, of course, going to be getting a lot of jerseys coming soon, which would sort of go and tail to that. And I think it's honestly a really good idea. You, of course, want to change and adapt and bring in new sort of colors and schemes. It's good for your PR. It's good for sales. You're going to want to buy the new jerseys and everything. And it'll be interesting to see what they kind of do with. I mean, of course, they're going to have a white one. That's your home jersey. I would imagine the blue one would be the road. And maybe you could do like sort of a third jersey with like a lime green or like a gray even, because there's kind of like a gray in the wolf. So we'll see. Minnesota, really, everyone thought, myself included, that they'd break out this year. Maybe it might be next year. They're going to get another top draft pick. So depending on who they draft there to go along with Karl-Anthony Towns, you have Andrew Wiggins. Zach LaVine's coming off of a knee injury, which will be tough to overcome. He'll probably miss some games next season. Chris Dunn developing still as their point guard. They'll probably get rid of Ricky Rubio soon. And then you have Tom Thibodeau, who's one of the better coaches in the league and a good defensive coach as well. So we'll see what Minnesota's got up their sleeves for next season, because this season, it's kind of over. They're only at 30 and 51 right now, so we'll see. But anyways, guys, that is going to conclude today's show. Today, my name is Ben Brown. I'd like to thank you once again for listening here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. Paulina will be back tomorrow talking all things basketball here, and I'll be back on Friday previewing some of these first-round matchups that start on Saturday in the NBA. So until then, I'll see you guys next time, and have a good day. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.